Sam Antonio sat waiting outside his home in Grants, New Mexico. He stood up when I arrived and led me inside to the kitchen. Having faced starvation for 3 years as a prisoner of war, he felt more comfortable talking with food nearby. He weighed only 87 pounds when rescued at the end of World War II. For the next 2 hours, the Acoma Indian, then 88 years old, related his story without a break. He had survived 4 months of desperate fighting in the Philippine Islands, only to be taken prisoner by the Japanese Imperial Army. During his first few months in a POW camp, 2,000 Americans died of disease, hunger, and savage treatment. "They all the time beating people up," Sam explained. "They put us in group of 10. If one escapes, the rest get shot." And he saw many men simply lose the will to live. "They crawled under the barracks somewhere and just die. They just give up, just tired of living, I guess." Sam survived the death marches and the hell ships where men went mad, packed tightly in the dark, suffocating holes. He endured senseless beatings, tropical diseases, and germ warfare experiments while suffering countless acts of degradation designed to break the human spirit. His war years were a succession of terrible ordeals, but through it all, he kept his sense of humor intact. One day, Sam was joking with a prisoner called Nick the Greek about all the food they would eat when the war was over. They started laughing, and a Japanese guard thought they were laughing at him. "He turned around," Sam said, "and boy, he hit me right on my chest with a rifle and knocked me down. I got up and I swung at him. Boy, I almost hit him. Good thing he ducked. If I hit that guy, they would have shot me." The other prisoners grew quiet, waiting to see what would happen next. The officer came and took me to the guard shack and made me stand at attention. I stood there 24 hours with a bayonet at my neck. You can still see the hole. He lifted his chin to show me the scar made by the bayonet-tipped rifle wedged between the floor and his jaw. If he had collapsed, it would have impaled him. The guards were rotated every 2 hours, and twice they let Sam sleep on the floor. Only the kindness of two enemy soldiers saved his life. Toward the end of the war, Sam was transferred to a slave labor camp in Manchuria. The prisoners could hear fighting nearby and knew liberation was near. With a Navajo friend, he decided not to wait. Scaling the prison wall, Sam brushed against a 3-strand wire, not knowing it was electrified. The jolt nearly killed him, and after tumbling off the wall, he lay senseless on the ground. My friend thought, "He's gone now. Poor guy, he's gone." Sam chuckled, as he did with each twist of fate recounted. "When I came to," he said, "I could smell burnt flesh, and my hands started to hurt." Sam held them out for me to see the scars. The skin had a glazed appearance, and he lacked fingerprints. After the war, he made a slow journey home, riding the Greyhound west from Albuquerque on the last leg. His mother knew he would arrive by bus, and every day checked the highway with her binoculars. When a man in uniform stepped off, she shouted, "That's a soldier." She ran down the trail across the lava flow and greeted her son. "I was so happy," Sam remembered. "Boy, was I happy." He laughed quietly to himself, recalling all the unexpected turns a life can take. Driving back to Flagstaff, I told myself I no longer had any grounds to complain about anything after what I had just heard. Of course, 3 days later, I was sitting in traffic, grumbling over nothing, a luxury we take for granted.